And joining us now is somebody everybody always wants.
Never
Pat.
Rented him.
Oh, you couldn't rent him. He was one of the great sluggers of all time. He's the Big Hurt. He's Frank Thomas. He joins us here on the Spano and Black Attack. Frank, good morning. I'm Joe Spano. He's Bob Black. It's really great to have you aboard this morning.
Good morning, Joe and Bob. Hope all is well.
Everything is great. It just got better because you hopped on with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about it right off the top. Your cool affiliation with Maytag, and we had Rusty Greer on last week to talk about it. Your cool affiliation with Maytag and their washer turning up at a slightly odd place within the world of where washing machines normally turn up.
Well, what's happening here is this new event with Maytag. They're going to be showing up at four Major League Baseball parks for the rest of the season. And in Chicago, it's in the dang bullpen. Of all places, in the visiting bullpen, a place that a lot of balls fly in. So it's going to be a very serious threat here to put a ball into the washing machine. And if one lands in the washing machine, Maytag is going to give $1 million to the Boys and Girls Club of Chicago chapter. So this is going to be a special event. They're going to do it all over the country. The guys are going to have a lot of fun because I know as a hitter, you know, you start to target certain things like that in certain parts of the ball game.
It beats winning a free steak or a free suit, doesn't it?
Most definitely. This is going to be a good time for the rest of the summer, and the ball is definitely flying here in Chicago for the next 2 months.
Yeah, you know, you raise an interesting point there. The ball's all over the place in Chicago. That team is all over the place in Chicago. You look at the roster, it's pretty talented. They have some weaknesses like anybody else, but you don't know what this decision or what opinion to take on this team. Should they contend? Will they not contend? Should Ventura stay? Should he go? What's your opinion on this?
Well, you know, they've been so bad all year long, and now they're 3.5 games, you know, out of the wild card. So they're not as bad as they seem. You know, they're 50-54, another great win streak like they did last week when they won 7 in a row, which put them back into the race. You know, you find yourself really close to that second wild card. And sometimes all you need now, it's shown the last couple of years, that second wild card has turned into a World Series champion.
Well, Frank, are you glad that they stayed the course? Because there was some talk that they were going to sell, you know, akin to what they did a number of years back when you were on the roster, and this was a team that was contending, and Ken Williams made what we found at the time a very peculiar decision to sell. So are you kind of relieved that with this team, yeah, there's work to be done, but with them getting hot and being in contention, are you relieved that the organization decided to stay the course?
Not relieved. I was a little shocked. I thought if they didn't have that 7-game winning streak, they definitely would have sold a lot of players. But having that 7-game winning streak right before the deadline really changed everyone's opinion and thinking of the organization. So, if anything, if they wanted to stay the course, I would prefer them to go out and get one more big bat because they were a little bit short offensively in the first half. So, adding a bat would probably help that team a lot.
I guess what I meant were you relieved that they didn't become sellers?
Well, if you're not going to win anything, why carry a lot of high salaries? You know, that's the way I look at it. If it's broken, you got to fix it somehow, and sometimes you have to dump salary to make things better for clubs.
Now, Frank, I want to take you back because we're talking about buying, selling, staying the course. When Ken Williams that year, and I don't recall the year exactly, you guys were really within earshot of winning the division, and Ken Williams decided to sell out from under the entire roster, and he made you guys sellers at a year when you shouldn't have been. You know, take us back to that period of time and give us your thoughts on what was going through your head and perhaps your teammates' heads as Ken Williams, you know, decided to make the White Sox sellers when they were only a handful of games out of a playoff spot.
Well, I think you're talking back in the mid-90s. And
yes.
At the time, you know, you had the great Cleveland Indian ball club. So we were 3.5 behind, and they had really just hammered us head-to-head. So at that time, you know, we had some big salaries on the team. We sold some big players. But in return, we got two great relievers that became a core of our team over the next 4 years. And that was Bobby Howery and Keith Folk. So it worked out that time. At the time, I was extremely upset because, you know, we wanted to chase down the Cleveland Indians, but we didn't get a chance to do that, and it all worked out for the best for us.
You know,
Frank, I don't know if you were ever in the position at any point in your career at the trade deadline of being moved or possibly being moved, because we don't know what goes on behind the scenes all the time. But how unique and how did you observe what happened to Wilmer Flores here in New York?
Well, you know, the guy played with a lot of passion. He wanted to be a New York Met for life. He's been in the organization since 16 years old. So for me watching him, you know, it was a sad situation, but I felt the passion of the kid wanting to stay in New York. And it's paid dividends for that team over the next few years. I mean, excuse me, over the next few days. And now you're watching this team turn everything around. So it could have been, if they win this thing, you better thank Wilmer Flores for what he did and show the passion for the team.
Well, you know, I think you raised something interesting there. We lose the human face of baseball every once in a while. Speak to that, because you've been around guys who got moved off of teams who didn't want to go anywhere. The effect on players at the trade deadline when they have to uproot everything in their life and just get it to another city.
Yeah, it's really tough, especially when guys that go out and buy nice houses and on teams and they think they're not going to be traded once they sign a nice contract. But trades are part of uprooting families, uprooting organizations. It's tough. We're all human. When you have to move, you have to move. For that kid, you know, come on, think about it. You're going to leave beautiful New York City to go to Milwaukee? Come on, the kid had a reason to cry. In my opinion, I mean, I love Milwaukee, but it's not, don't let me talk bad about Milwaukee because I live about 15 minutes from it, 20 minutes from it. But, you know, the kid grew up in New York. He's a foreign kid, lived in New York City. This was big leagues for him.
Those are the dulcet tones of Baseball Hall of Famer and slugger extraordinaire Frank Thomas joining us here on the Spano and Black Attack. You're doing a lot of work with Fox Sports right now as an analyst on baseball, so you're following this game on an each and every day basis. The trading deadline's in the rearview mirror. You know, give us some thoughts on who you really think are some of the big winners and losers at the deadline, Frank.
I mean, number one for me is Toronto Blue Jays. You know, I think they did everything possible to strengthen that ball club. You know, you get Price and Tulowitzki, but you also get a great veteran in Latrell Hawkins who can really add some experience to that bullpen, but also add a voice in that bullpen. So, you know, Ben Revere, he'll be fine. He's going to, you know, he didn't expect to get traded like that, but he's a great little player, and he's going to really add a left-handed bat to that lineup because they're so right-handed dominant. I think the Toronto Blue Jays is going to be somewhat forced to be reckoned with down the stretch. The Yankees will have to watch their back because that team is good enough now to run down a six-game lead.
Frank, we appreciate the couple minutes. One more time as we let you go about what your relationship with Maytag and the Boys and Girls Club of America.
Well, you know, I grew up in the Boys Club of America, so Boys and Girls Club of America. And to be honest, if I didn't grow up in that area, I really don't believe I would have made it as a pro athlete because I spent eight-hour days at the Boys Club of America. So this is an easy endorsement opportunity for me because of that. And this whole million-dollar thing to the local Boys and Girls Club chapter in Chicago means a lot to me, means a lot to these kids. And I'm hoping some player hits one line shot right into the washing machine because that would be something special for Maytag and Major League Baseball.
Appreciate the couple minutes, Frank. Have a great one. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day.